So I'm going to start us with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to share some things that the Lord has put on my heart in light of the great loss of Charlie Kirk. And really the state of the nation. And so this isn't this is really difficult because I really admire Charlie and the work that he's done. And so I'm just going to ask the Lord to help us. So Heavenly Father, I just ask that you come. Come, Holy Spirit, come and comfort us as we look at the days that we're in right now, and as we, you know, it's 9/11. Have we forgotten? With the great loss of Charlie Kirk. Lord, I just want to be able to convey the things that you've poured into my heart over the last 24 hours. And I ask, Lord God, that you give your grace. And your strength. And that we would see the events in front of us through your eyes, which is really what you have called us as intercessors to do. See the events through the lens of the Lord. And help us walk out this path that, you know, not only us, but our nation. And the Kirk family are experiencing right now. I thank you, Lord, that you are with us and that you help us when we call upon your name. In your precious name, amen. I'm going to just share a few things that the Lord has given me, and then I'm going to share a word, a vision actually that he gave me that I shared last year. He gave it to me in October of last year, and because we need to look to those things into the future. And you know, my heart goes out to Kirk's family. My heart goes out to those that were very close to them. You know, I've read the posts from Don Jr. I've read the posts from President Trump and how reserved he is being as a man so impassioned. He really deeply cared for Kirk. I don't know if any of you watched the clip of Charlie on the night of the election. And when he heard the announcement that President Trump won the election. You know, so many people were celebrating and jumping up and down. I know the intercessors often just weep. They just weep in relief when they see that. But, you know, Kirk, when he heard the announcement, buried his head in his hands. And he wept because he and his work and what God called him to do truly contributed to that election. But because he loves President Trump so much. And, I mean, it was a beautiful moment between he and his wife. And anyway, so my heart goes out to all of them. But this really is also a message for us. And I think we need to look to that. And So when I was yesterday, when I was out walking, over, I walk over by a school, and it's a elementary school, and there were these messages in the sidewalk yesterday morning. And there was this, as you walk up the pathway to get onto the sidewalk, like from the street, you walk up the little walkway, and it said, "Randy, Daddy loves you so much." And as you walk down the walkway to go into the entrance of the school, and it's quite a little distance to it goes, it's on a block, so you have to walk along the schoolyard to get to the area where you'd actually go into the front of the school at the entrance. And so, all along this path are these messages: "Happy birthday, Randy. Daddy loves you so much. Dad loves you, Randy." And so at every intersection point are these messages in sidewalk chalk with great big hearts around it that Daddy loves Randy. And I was walking along this path and I thought, "Oh, how cute." The first note I saw. But as I kept walking along this walkway, I kept seeing these markers of Randy's dad's love for him. Beautiful markers to say, "I love you. En route to school, I love you. Every step you take, I love you." And I kept just looking at these handwritten notes that this father came out and took the time to do. And I was deeply touched. Every time I read another note, I was even more touched than I was the day before. I mean, the note before. And the Lord said, "These are markers. Markers on Randy's journey where his father is telling him he loves him." And as it sat with me, he said, "And I do the same with my children. These are markers." And there are markers in our lives where the Father makes sure we know He loves us. And I thought about that in terms of our nation. How the Lord has, in His mercy, given us markers in the history of our timeline to make sure that we as Americans know He loves us. Before we were America, He was doing this as He sent the revivalists forth. To spread the deeper call to intimacy with Him. The Lord has been sending revivalists to this nation again and again, markers. "I love you, and I'm going to send my presence into your midst so you know your Father in heaven loves you." We can look at the founding fathers and the how God compelled them to write the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and the resulting upon that Declaration of Independence, the resulting Revolutionary War. That is a marker in time where our Heavenly Father let us know that He loves us. Why, how is war a marker, because the Revolutionary War severed the ties of a nation that would seek to enslave us, because that's where we were headed. We were right on the cusp of being enslaved by the crown. And the Revolutionary War severed that and stopped it in its tracks. When Roe versus Wade was overturned, that was a marker. He loves us. And he's making way for us to protect the life of our preborn citizens. The protection of President Trump from the attempted assassination more than once. Once they hit him, once it was stopped beforehand. And we don't even know, because they don't report it, all the other times he's protected. These are markers in our history, where the Father is letting us know he loves us. And it's beautiful. That's what poured over me yesterday morning. And I was crying out to the Lord, and I said, Lord, let these markers hit this generation. Let these markers of your love hit this generation. These elementary school kids, these junior high kids, these high schoolers, these college kids, these university kids, let your markers of love hit this generation in a profound way. And I came out of my prayer just before noon, and the alerts flashed across my phone that Charlie Kirk had been shot. That was not the marker I was looking for. It was not. And the Lord said, keep looking. This was the second shot, you know, heard around the world, if you will, in 14 months, that could possibly change the course of our nation's history. You know, our staff was praying, the videos were going, it didn't look good. On September 10th, Charlie Kirk became a martyr. Thirty-one years ago, God formed Charles James Kirk in his mother's womb, and he called him to be a martyr for his generation and for this nation. And whether you believe it or not, or can possibly comprehend this, Charlie would have been presented with this information and agreed to it before he was sent to his mother's womb. He would have been presented with it and agreed to it. It's the ultimate act of love, the ultimate sacrifice for this young man The one that the left calls divisive. To one day be seen as the voice that will cut through the deception and ultimately unite us. And you said, well, has that happened yet? Well, that voice definitely cut through deception. When he got up yesterday, I'm sure he didn't know that that would be the day before 9/11, would be the day that he said his last goodbye to his wife, kissed his children on the cheeks, who were present there, gave his last speech, took his last breath. And set this nation ablaze as his blood was shed for liberty. And if he did know it, would he have gone? Well, he had plenty of death threats. I believe he would have. But again, how is this a marker of God's love? How is this a marker of God's love? You know, Charlie loved God, his family, America, President Trump. Man, he loved. But he knew more about the Word of God than most pastors in pulpits today. And he used his knowledge and understanding of the Word to cut through the deception of communistic cultural Marxism. And this ideology that had permeated academia in our country. For the last 13 years, he's been the voice that has pierced through it and opened dialogue with young people to help them begin to think for themselves, to ask questions, to challenge what they're being brainwashed with. His work with Turning Point USA has been a dominant force in campus conservatism in our nation well over a decade now. His work was not only to speak truth to deceptive ideology, but to expose liberalism and leftist propaganda in the classroom. From the freshmen, you know, in the classroom, first day on campus, to President Trump in the White House, he spoke the truth and he advocated for our liberties. Each time Charlie picked up the mic on a college campus, where the battle was surely the heaviest, was a marker in our nation's history that God loves our youth. Like I said, Charlie received plenty of death threats, but he refused to succumb to the fear. He was truly God's marker of love to this generation. And instead of running from the threats, he faced them head on. And it was like this declaration that he will face death time and time again in an effort to save this generation from the deceptive ideology that the enemy has unleashed. What a beautiful thing for such a young man to do. Last night I went to his website. It was late. I don't even know why I just did. And I was scrolling through, and he has these t-shirts and hats and stuff on his store. And the first one says, "Never surrender." And it has that image of President Trump when he was shot, and he came up and raised his fist and said, "Fight, fight, fight." At the top of that shirt, it says, "Never surrender." And the second one had written, "We the people," with our Constitution on the back. And it was in this period that the Lord began to speak to me. Everything on his website, everything is sold out. It's like the people flooded the Kirk family with love. But this is what the Lord told me. You must never surrender in your fight for this nation, and you must unite under the blood that was shed to bring about your constitution. These liberties are yours, but they came at a hefty price. The blood of thousands and thousands shed on this soil to grant you the liberties you now possess. And they nearly slipped. The liberties nearly slipped through your fingers, America. Will you surrender them now, or will you rise up and fight? I have a fire to ignite the hearts. It's been reserved for such a time as this. The campuses that house my and brainwash my children are about to be set ablaze with my fires. The awakening is here. The blood has been shed, and fire, my fire is coming. What will you do, America? God's marker in time is right now, and we are standing in the middle of it. What will you do, America? I know what the intercessors will do. They will pray it through. But what will America do with the move of God he is wanting to bring, bringing down the communism and deception in the house of these schools? What will America do? Have people prepared themselves to take their place? What would we do? God moves like a mighty wave across our land. How will we respond? How will the church respond? How will the nation respond? What will we do? Because his marker of love has just been dropped. How will we respond? And I know that was not a call from the Lord to pick up arms. It's a call to go to our knees. But I believe the Lord is also calling us to begin to stand for truth in a way we never have before. Because God can and He is sending revival. His marker of love has just been dropped. But if in the midst of that revival we water it down with a gospel of compromise, how far will it go? What kind of impact will it have? I believe God is calling us, and as intercessors, this is something we need to truly pray into, to learn to wield the sword, the word of God, in one hand and cut through the deception that's blanketing our nation from college campuses to media outlets. In the other hand, we must learn to wield the shield of faith to extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one that's been unleashed upon our children. What will you do, America? Marker of love has just been dropped. I have a friend who's a teacher here in California, and today Not 24 hours after Harley Kirk is slain, that teacher is standing in front of the class, a government class, and he said, Charlie Kirk got what he deserved because he was a racist, a white supremacist who spread hate. That's what that teacher said. These are high school kids he was talking to. I said, you need to report him immediately. Because if we don't, out of fear of rocking the boat, this marker of love that the Lord has just dropped will be done in vain. Because we have to begin to speak truth to the lies. We have to begin to stand against the compromise. And we have to be willing. We have to be willing to file a report and sign our name at the bottom of it and say what this person has done has violated what we stand for as Americans. This person has violated and deceived the children. This person is introducing things that are communistic to our classrooms. This person is releasing things that are disgusting and perverse into our classrooms. We must stand. We really are at a turning point, and God is trying to provoke us. To follow his righteous leadings. And something rises up within us to jump in front of these daggers coming out of these teachers' mouths to protect the children. That is God's way of saying, do something. And be the shield for those that cannot defend themselves. And file the report. We cannot sit idly by and allow this level of hate and indoctrination to continue in our classrooms. Charlie's blood is really counted among those who gave their lives for our liberties. And yesterday, I sat before him. The Lord told me that his blood will be a catalyst to unite and galvanize the conservatives in this nation. His blood will be a catalyst to unite and galvanize the conservatives in this nation. How long will we maintain it? When President Trump was shot July 13th of last year, it galvanized the party. Not only that, it brought those that even were on the left over. Because we all realized we weren't a part of that hate. Even those on the left said, I'm not a part of that. I don't even want to be connected with that. I don't want to be connected with killing people that say stuff I don't like. And they came over and joined the conservatives to fight, to unite, and never surrender. Never surrender this nation to that kind of hate. Last year, the Lord reiterated to me that we are at war for the soul of this nation. And the Lord is sending forth even now the call of the shofar to bring in his mightiest warriors to take up the same military garb that Charlie had. Ephesians 6, the armor. That we might be fearless warriors in this fight for our nation. We are in the midst of a revolution in our country. Last year, the Lord said 2024 is the year of revolution. This year, he said 2025 is the year of justice. May God bring justice for Charlie. He's bringing justice for President Trump. We're seeing it as these documents come out of these agencies. Agencies headed by people that came on our side of the fence to get in the fight with us because of what they did to President Trump on July 13th of last year. And now they head these agencies and they're exposing the corruption. That's the kind of catalyst that an act like that has when people, Americans, will see the state of our nation and recognize we are at a crossroads. And we can either get on the side of the Lord or we can continue to hide. And I know I'm not speaking and saying you guys are all hiding. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we all know people who are hiding. We all know people who are afraid to speak the truth. We all know people that are afraid to file those reports. We all know people like that. We need to pray for them, but we also need to encourage them, rise up and take a stand. You may get some backlash. But we are not fighting for today. We are fighting for this next generation. Those that walk on those college campuses. That Charlie, in spite of his death threats, continued to pick up the mic and try to have conversations with. I always thought it was interesting that he sat in a chair, and as I watched him yesterday, I thought, what a way to put people at ease. You know, if you stand and express your thoughts and opinions, sometimes it comes through pretty aggressive. But when you sit, it's hard to be aggressive. What a way to disarm people who think you're their enemy. Such wisdom for one so young. Today is 9/11. I don't know about you guys, but I know exactly, vividly, exactly what I was doing on 9/11 when those reports came through about the planes. I'll never forget it. I know exactly where I was and what I was doing. And one of our leaders told me that President Trump had been shot at a rally. And I'll never forget where I was and what I was doing yesterday. Because these are markers in our timeline. But there's something about 9/11 that we've got to look at. And I'm not talking about, you know, anything other than the effect of that event. 9/11 brought people back to church. That's one thing 9/11 did. I was talking to my mom about this just today, and she said every pastor that she knew said their church was full to capacity every Sunday. Every single Sunday, every single service. 9/11 brought people back to church. It ignited patriotism in our nation like nothing I've ever seen before. Americans came together as one. And we stood strong and we were determined not to let the enemy prevail. We rose as one, God-fearing Americans, full stop. It was beautiful. But as the years went by, I watched that will to fight the enemy wane. Until last year, July 13th, on the attempted assassination of President Donald J. Trump, drew those people out of the woodwork to come and support him. We were Americans and we were going to stand for this. And then yesterday, as painful as this event is, God will use it as a marker of his love. When he galvanized the youth to weep in war against the enemy, and then to come alongside us to retain and maintain what God is doing in our nation. We will look back at this as a marker in our timeline. Where the war for the soul of our nation had a turning point. So tonight, in light of Charlie's martyrdom, I want to read to you a vision the Lord gave me last year for the country. And what God is doing and what he will do if we, the people, will never surrender to the enemy's plans. And it was this message, this vision was the race to restoration, and I shared it October 31st of last year. I was praying in the spirit and I had an open vision of the nation. Mom and I, along with the team and the intercessors, were pulling this nation up to the finish line. We were so close to reaching the goal. And although it seemed we were in a race, there were no other nations on either side of us. Still, the atmosphere felt very time sensitive, as though we were coming up to the finish line. The fight was hard and the movement was slow, and we seemed exhausted while at the same time so driven to complete the task set before us. So there was no chance of stopping us. When we were almost up to the finish line, the view panned out. That's when I finally saw the other nations. They were behind us. They were not racing. In fact, they could not even move on their own. America was pulling them along behind us. It was as though we were a giant ship and the other nations were dinghies or small vessels being pulled by America. And it was really a very sad sight to see, because I recognize how helpless many nations are, even in this hour. The cabal has worked to strip, abuse, and drain them of their power, their resources, and their national sovereignty. America was truly the last line of defense against a tyrannical reign running without restraint across the nations of the earth. The intercessors were pulling America, and America was pulling the vessels. Yet it seemed we should have been moving much faster toward that finish line. Kept wondering why we were working so hard yet moving so slowly. I looked to the Lord for directive or some answers to my internal query, and without a word, he pointed to something at the back of the nation. I followed the direction of his hand, and I saw the chains, and I can't believe I didn't notice them right away, but they were extremely old chains that were connected at the very back end of the nation. Hanging from the nation were giant anchors. Some of the chains had links that were partially open, and I knew that this meant that the work of the intercessors was indeed effective. It would not be long, and these anchors would be gone. Suddenly, we ran to the back end of the nation with a sword in hand and severed the links in those weakened areas one by one. After the last chain was cut, the nation was thrust forward. The ropes pulling the other nations behind us were still intact. Geographically, none of this made sense, but they were being pulled behind America in no specific order. As we approached the finish line, an explosion occurred, and we were thrust forward. The explosion rippled across the land like it was moving through gelatin. As the ripples of the explosion flowed outward, light replaced darkness. And it wasn't even until that moment that I realized how the nation had been shrouded in darkness. The ripples continued building and extended to the end of the nation, then rippled across the ropes and into the nations we were pulling behind us. They too received light. The momentum, from nation to nation was incredible. Nothing could stop it. Anyone who even tried was knocked clean off their feet. I was taken back to see this event from a great distance and saw the nation split now horizontally. The top layer was a spiritual layer, that portion of the work done through prayer, and the bottom layer was a natural layer. This always follows the work of intercession. The explosion was the awakening, and as Mama shared many times, the awakening began in January of 2023. The awakening ultimately impacts both the top and the bottom layers. The top layer, the spiritual side, what occurred on the top was the intercession, the prophetic revelation, and so on. And we often see the powerful and revelatory preaching and teaching in connection with this element. People get saved, they get healed, they get delivered and ignited for Jesus, just like on Pentecost and the revival that followed. And during Azusa Street and the worldwide revival that followed that, because of what occurs in this spiritual realm. However, what we saw on the bottom layer, the natural side, is a product of what occurs in the top layer or the spiritual realm. And it had scaffolding quickly erected alongside beaten and battered buildings, and the restoration process began. With the completion of each building, a light would turn on and cause it to glow. Then the scaffolding would be taken down and quickly erected alongside another building. And that's where I saw it. The buildings being restored were the ancient buildings, the iconic representations of our nation, the Supreme Court, the justice system, right? The White House, the executive branch, and the Congress, the legislative branch. The Lincoln Monument was polished and shining brightly. The Library of Congress was purged and restored to truth. I wondered in my heart what was happening with these buildings and what it meant when the light came on. And the Lord impressed me that with each light that turned on within a restored building, he was giving his stamp of approval. As the approval went out, the false narrative about the individual or the era they represented was broken, and truth prevailed. The light was the Lord's marker that this building, what it represents had been purged of deception or corruption and restored to truth. The ecclesia grew and expanded at this point, some running for key offices and having favor of both levels because they represented life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There was a merging of ideas, not a compromise, but a merging of righteous ideals surrounded by light. They bounced between these two realms, the top layer and the bottom layer, and I saw them expand as they moved back and forth. When these ideas reached their optimum level, they burst open and poured out over the land as liquid gold, causing the restoration process to speed up. I saw churches, schools, media, houses, justice system, and the government all rebuilt. And the vision ended. Now more than ever, we see the need for the rebuilding of our nation. Yesterday, when they asked for a moment of silence for Charlie Kirk, the Democrats erupted in protest. How tragic is that? That's the state of Congress right now. And every person that would not even respect or honor Charlie Kirk and his work on campuses to be voted out in the next election. Charlie was slain because of his ideology. It conflicted with the ideology of the world. He was effective, and they silenced him. And like I keep saying, the nation is at a crossroads. Will we allow the enemy to silence us? Or will we rise up and take a stand? Are we going to cower? Are we going to choose to never surrender and fight the good fight that God has put us here to fight? We are fighting not just for us. We are fighting for this next generation and the one after it. So when the Lord says, America, what will you do? I'm telling you, the state of our nation warrants that kind of a question from the Lord. But God, in his mercy, has given us a marker. Charlie Kirk's life was a marker of God's love for this generation. That he loved those obnoxious, loud-mouthed college kids, those social justice warriors. Those pro everything that we stand against, justice, social justice warriors, enough to send the marker of his love in Charlie Kirk, who was willing to go to those campuses and pierce through the darkness and bring forth God's light into their lives. Time and time again, on those campus events, altar calls were held and people came to know Jesus. That's quite the church activity, isn't it? When I say we're fighting, not for today, but for this generation that will follow. As armor kids that have really been lost, deceived, and they're just looking for something to be anchored to. Those are the ones that God loved enough to send a man like Charlie to. So God's marker of love has fallen. But I'm telling you, the seed of that martyr's blood will be ignited by the Spirit of the Living God. So America, as God sends forth His mighty move into these campuses, will you pray for that? People of God, will you pray for revival on these campuses, every campus that He poured His blood, sweat, and tears into? Will we pray for revival? Will we pray that God will move this generation? Will we rise up and fight? Will we choose and make a decision to never surrender in this fight? Because America is really at not just a turning point, a tipping point. And the state of our nation calls for people who are willing to say yes. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and how you demonstrate your love to us. I thank you for these markers in time where you spread your love out and show us who you are. I pray, Lord God, for the Kirk family, those friends, I just pray that you be with them and comfort them in this hour. I pray that the intercessors will rally around the message. I pray, Father God, that you will turn this nation upside down in the process of rebuilding it. I pray, Father God, that there would be ignition, an ignition of your light and your life unleashed upon our land. And I pray, Father God, that the flames of revival that you showed me clear back in February of 2023, when you woke me up from that dream that revival had hit the colleges, you woke me up from it. I woke myself up shouting, "The fire, the fire, the fire is coming." And it was the fires of revival. Oh, Father God, let it be. Let it be. Let the fires of revival be released upon our land. Would it be In your precious name, amen. Now, I want to add something here before I hand it back over, or Daryl can, well, I'm going to say it because I don't have a chance to, like, make eye contact with them, but Daryl said, I think the breaking of the chains that was behind the nation and the thrust forward of our nation speaks of the same time as when the weights come off the eagle soaring across the nation with that sonic boom. Now, if you remember, and I say that because I've talked about this vision because it was such a powerful vision for me for a long time. But in 2020, I had a vision of the eagle carrying a flag, and at the end of the flag were weights. There were five weights, and media was one of those. Media, academia, bloodletting, the occult, and government, and which was communistic. And so when that, I saw the eagle, and it got jolted. And when it was jolted, I saw that the weight of media had begun to fall, and that eagle, he started to soar even harder, and that weight fell off of him. And when it did, there was a like bungee cords between the weights. So they were clipped to the flag, but they were also, there were bungee cords keeping those weights all connected to each other. So when the media, when that sonic boom took place and the media came down, every one of those weights fell. Boom, 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 until that eagle was free. And that spirit of communism that encircled our flag was broken. And that eagle, instead of being fatigued and weighed down by the burden of carrying these weights for all this time, had been strengthened, and he began to soar across our nation. And as he did, that spirit of communism broke off the land, and he began to go beyond our shores and soar to the next nation. And again, that spirit of communism broke off of that nation as well. And it happened nation after nation after nation that this eagle flew over. The impact of what we're doing and how we're fighting and how we're praying in this nation is not just for America. I say this often. It is not just for our nation. It's not just for today. It's for this next generation, and it's for the nations of the earth. They will benefit. Many, many are going to be set free from that communism. As revival sweeps the nations, it's going to be a beautiful thing. This is what we fight for. And this is why it's so important to view things through the lens of the Lord. It's so important to view things through the lens of the Lord, because you just don't know how much out there really is deception. And if we continue to say, Lord, show me this through your eyes, He will open our eyes to see the truth, and then we can fight from that standpoint. Thank you.